This is the Stick and Hack Show. Conversation, discussion, debate, and golf talk from a stick, Mike Ryan, and the hack, Adam Grubb. Boys, you are up.
All right, everybody, welcome in to the Stick and Hack Show. I'm your host, Adam Grubb. That's Mike Ryan right there, the stick. Mike, how are you?
I am fantastic.
Good.
How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you. Not great, but good enough.
You got a haircut, so you should be really good.
I got a haircut and a shave, which is makes me feel like an entirely new man. I was at a playoff beard going on there for a little bit. All right, so I think we're going to be back, hopefully, back in around the world. Golf is coming back and is all the way back in most areas of the country, so that's exciting. What else? What else is there from a news perspective? They had the match, the Tiger and Tom Brady thing over there.
Yeah.
Recently, that was fun. That was cool. I wish they would do more of those things. Hopefully they will. I think this was better than the first match with Phil and Tiger only. It had a little more stick and hack kind of feel to it, even though Brady and Peyton are pretty damn good golfers in their own right.
Right.
They're not professionals. So I like it. Hopefully they do more of that stuff. All right. So first up here, first of all, the most sophisticated golf show in the free world from the greatest golf club in the world without the course. It's Stick and Hack, stickandhack.com to become a member today. It's free for life. You get things and it's quite an experience. What's so funny already? What are you laughing about?
Nothing. You're doing a fantastic job, man.
Thank you.
I just like to yank your chain once in a while.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Oh, by the way, 1 year of Stick and Hack. My God. Or one
anniversary. I know. It's incredible.
Why are you more excited about that?
I don't know. You should be.
I should be. 1 year of Stick and Hack.
One other thing we need to point out is you changed your vantage point here.
I changed for those of you watching on YouTube and watching this show. I changed my vantage point. I
like it.
Thank you very much. I've been very self-conscious about it. I've been asking every single person how it looks, and I've been getting mixed reviews. But I like it.
You got a little Muhammad Ali in the background there.
I got Ali right there, and I got the Cubs right there.
I like it.
Stick and Hack visor right there. Everything's good. All right. First up, One Club Monty. This is an incredible story, Mike. One Club Monty. He's one of the newer members of the Golf Week Amateur Tour. Anthony Griggs posted a round of 84 to capture the D flight during a recent event played at Whirlwind Golf Club in Chandler, Arizona. But that's just half the story.
Yeah.
After the round, a member of Griggs' group insisted he'd seen the most incredible thing he'd ever witnessed on a golf course. What do you think that was, Mike?
An albatross.
Ooh, good guess. No. Griggs, who will turn 61, actually who just turned 61 on the 19th, played the entire round with just a putter. Tees, fairways, bunkers, and of course greens. Griggs only used a putter, and he fired an 84.
It's incredible.
He's an Army veteran.
That's like, I don't think I could do that, to be honest.
No.
I really don't.
We'll get into the semantics of the whole thing in a second. He's an Army veteran originally from Gary, Indiana. Griggs moved to Arizona in 2001 and lives in Mesa. He's played throughout Arizona, including the Waste Management pre-qualifier. At that time, he was playing with all of his clubs. But Griggs drives the ball more than 200 yards off the tee, and he does it all with his putter. He drives the ball 200 yards with his putter. So he was
impressive.
Say that again.
It's impressive.
Yeah, it is. It's incredible. So he became a pretty good traditional player, and he started getting bored with the game. And one of his buddies said, "Hey, why don't you try to challenge yourself and just play with one club?" And so he started figuring out how to play with just one club. And then he's like, "You know what? A real challenge would be is to just play with your putter." And so he practiced on the range. This is a true story. He decided to give it a try. And he found out with some trial and error, he could hit the ball pretty well with just his putter. And he's been using his putter on the course ever since for every shot. I can't even imagine.
I'm trying to figure out how. See, I'm choked up now.
He's still alive. He's fine.
I know, but I the vibration alone of a putter shaft and just hitting a drive with a putter shaft. I mean, I've tried to hit a full swing with a putter before, and it's not easy at all.
And the face of the putter is smallest face club that you have in your bag.
Yeah.
I mean, the precision and the eye hand coordination and everything about it makes it feel impossible. And we reached out to him, producer Shane. Did any reason that Anthony Griggs is not on the Stick and Hack Show with us right now as we talk about him?
Yeah, tried to reach out to him. We got big timed.
Really?
Wow.
Does he have a rep?
An agent, a lengthy writer, what were fees, and a bowl of blue M&Ms, apparently.
Oh my God! So probably we got
two.
We got
two. You guys?
We got big timed.
We got big timed. We got shut up. All right.
Or we just didn't get a response at all. One of those two.
Or maybe you didn't even email him to begin with.
I just said
also sure possible. Yeah.
All right. Thank you, producer Shane.
Yeah,
goodbye. There he goes, producer Shane. Everybody, another swing and a miss. Try to get I mean, if we can't get Anthony Griggs on the show, who the hell can we get on? So one club Monty. I don't know why I called it that. His name's Anthony.
Yeah. Why did you call him One Club Tony?
I don't know. I'm dumb. So yeah, he played an entire round with the putter and shot in 84. So the next time that you're out there and you're shooting your little game and you're like, hey, I'm pretty good. I'm pretty good at golf. No, you ain't no Anthony Griggs.
That's absolutely true.
That's
fascinating. I'm almost intrigued enough to like try and go do it myself and see what I would shoot with the putter.
Let's do exactly that.
Yeah.
Let's do exactly that. So in June, I'm gonna say it here on the show. In June, we will have for you at that time.
I'm not using my putter. I'm gonna figure out another putter because I'm scared I'll snap
use mine
after the head offers.
Use mine. Mine doesn't work anyway. So who cares?
All right, fine.
Can you imagine a hosel shot right off of your putter? Absolutely not.
It's highly likely.
Hey, I've one of my incredible moment in my life. You and I have played one club challenge after the show before, and we play with a 7-iron or 5-iron or something like that. We play several holes one club challenge. One of the greatest shots that I think you've ever seen. You have been on record saying one of the greatest shots you've ever seen in your entire life. Happened right in front of you by me. Why don't you tell our listeners about that?
Sure. It was your one shining moment, I guess. I mean, I don't know. You hit a sand shot with a 7-iron to about a foot and a half.
Right. Greatest shot that's ever been hit.
And I've never heard the end of it since.
Why would you? That's my shining moment. That's what happens. If I won the Masters, I'd wear my green jacket all the time. True. That's my Masters.
That was your Masters for sure.
Masters moment. That was my Sergio moment, my Phil moment. That's what happened. All right, let's move into the conversation, Mike. We're going to talk money golf today. All right. You remember the book by Michael Lewis called Moneyball, and you remember the movie Moneyball?
Yes.
This is money golf. It's not even close to the same theory, but I think it's creative. So what the hell?
Whatever. We do what we want.
All right, so money golf. This is where we're going to be talking about the stats and the money that is truly behind golf. So some stats for you to know just early on here, and I don't find these surprising, but I think some will. 11% of golfers are member of the Silent Generation. Silent Generation is born before 1946. Okay. 27% of golfers are boomers. That's 1946 to 1964. No shock there. 27% of golfers are Gen X. That's you and I, 1965 to 1979. You're born in 79, right?
80.
Okay. Well, then.
Well, I still consider Gen A. I still consider myself Gen X.
29% of golfers are members of Gen Y. That's 1980 to 1999. And 6% of golfers are members of Generation Z, born after 1999. So a majority of our golfers are coming from the boomers and the Gen Xers and the Gen Ys. So there is a especially with the Gen Y, 29% of golfers, that's our age group. That is a very active group of golfers currently.
Yeah.
According to the National Golf Foundation, the NGF, the country is experiencing a contraction of golf facilities, no doubt. Golf courses over the years, they're not building as many of them as there are housing additions and everything else and utilizing the real estate for other things. But there are 34,000 golf courses in the world. 45% of those are in the United States. The U.S. currently has a total.
Quite a statistic.
It is. Half of the golf courses in the world are in the United States. Yeah. 15,000 courses and several hundreds more in development. But the new courses coming online is at an all-time low. Why do you think that is, Mike?
Well, I mean, I think it's somewhat the cost of the land, number one. I think that on some level, developers probably, and I don't think it's just golf courses. I think it's amenities in general when they're building these newer additions and developments that they're not putting as many amenities in them as they used to. You used to see a lot of pools being built that were like community pools for right. those specific neighborhoods. And if I feel like you're not seeing that as much. So I think it has to do mostly with cost.
One of the biggest expenses or one of the biggest reasons is the expense of the golf course in general yeah. and running the course, not right. building it is expensive. Sure. But running yeah. it is expensive. So according to SageWorks, golf courses and country clubs are losing money. Typically it's high membership and high admission prices, as well as an oversupply of the courses. Again, according to the National Golf Foundation, an operating financial performance profile of 18 hole golf facilities in the U.S. and private 18 hole golf clubs. Their revenue was $3.2 million with the total expense, or I'm sorry, $3.277 million. What the hell? How do you say that? $3,277,000. $3,277,000. A total expenses of $3,204,000. So that's
yeah.
$73,000 profit.
Yeah.
That's unsustainable.
No. Yeah.
Right. Yep. So the operational costs alone for golf courses, that's too bad, because there is a sense that when you have a club and, or you have a course, you're bringing back to the game, and there are people out there that are playing. I mean, it is a multi-billion dollar industry. People are spending money. People are golfing. You're seeing the stats. There's half the course in the United States. Yep. Is it an oversaturation of courses? If there were less courses, would those be more successful just because they're of proximity to people's houses and all of that?
I think so. I think it's going to be one of those things we're going to see over the next few years. It will be a little bit of a continued contraction as far as the number of courses that are out there. What I think you're going to see is a resurgence of a subset of courses where they're starting to, and I've already seen it. You're starting to see them invest in amenities and facilities, which, to be honest, I think is a reaction to what I mentioned earlier, is that a lot of neighborhoods aren't, when they're being built, they're not being built with a lot of amenities. So golf courses have an opportunity there to step in and provide some of those amenities from a social aspect. I've seen a lot of courses that are, you know, investing in pools and tennis courts and all those other things, as well as simulators, so that they can right. keep their members around during the cold times, especially up in the northern states.
Right.
I just think it's something where you're going to see there'll be a subset of the market that will go away and fall off, which we've already seen, and I think we're going to continue to see a little bit. But I think you're going to see some other courses that understand how to manage things well, that are able to take advantage of that.
6% of those born after 1999 are playing golf. So that's Generation Z. That's where we need those kids coming up and the high schoolers to be yeah. involved in golf and be playing golf for the generations to come. And sure. something that has happened recently, which very recently, within the last several weeks, which is not good. It's not a very good precedent to start. Akron College.
University of Akron.
University of Akron. Thank you. Yes. Also known as Akron College for those for locals.
Yeah, right. I'm sure they would have nothing to say about that.
Akron College.
Yes.
It's literally what it is. It's where it's from.
Yes.
University of Akron canceled their golf program, both women and men, right?
No, just their men's. Right. I'm not sure if they have a women's team or not, but they actually canceled three total sports programs. They got rid of men's golf, men's cross country, and women's tennis. So they and they specifically cited COVID-19 budget concerns around it. They were concerned about that. To me, it's going to be interesting to see if that becomes a trend across the country is as some of these universities' budgets get squeezed because of, you know, not being able to have students on campus possibly, and reduction in revenue because of that, do they start cutting some of these smaller programs? Because, you know, we all know that athletic budgets in college are tight as they are. You know, it's unfortunate to see it. It really sucks. You know, Akron, I believe they played at Firestone.
Right.
It was their home course, which, yeah. I mean, well, I can't even imagine. It sucks for those guys that are on that team. And, you know.
Yeah. I mean, that's to have your sport completely taken away is awful. And there's a stat that producer Shane, if you could throw up there for us around the high school athletics. And so this is where, you know, college programs started in high school. And over the last 10 years, starting in 2009, there was 157,000 boy golfers and 70,000 girl golfers in high school. And those numbers have flipped. So we lost 13,000 boy golfers coming into the programs over 10 years, but gained 9,000 girl golfers. Now, we would love to see both those numbers running
going up.
But the fact that there are girl golfers in high school and that number is rising 1,000 a year is something positive within the game itself. But if college programs are going to be cutting their golf, when I play high school golf, now I had zero chance of making any college golf team. I barely made it into college, quite frankly. And so at that point, though, why would you play high school golf if there's no next step? If there's no, and I'm not saying that collegiate golf is going to go away, but if some of these small mid-conference schools say, you know what, it's not really worth it. We're going to stick our money in basketball and in football. That's a problem for golf overall moving forward.
Yeah, it's going to come down to if they want to put the money into the scholarships. Now, my argument for playing golf is that anybody that takes up golf at a young age or any age for that matter, you can play the game the rest of your life. And a lot of those other sports, and I've made this argument to friends of mine, guys that I grew up with when we were younger, I made that argument to them, you know, when we were in high school, and I had buddies that, you know, they wanted to play baseball or they wanted to play tennis or whatever. And we would always say, I would always tell them, I'm like, look, man, I know you like those other sports, but you also like golf and you're going to be able to play golf the rest of your life. So that's something that I think is an easy argument to make for golf as a sport and a sport to play and to try and be competitive at. Is because you can play it the rest of your life. So I think
something too, Mike, that's going to help the high school golfers feel like there's something, and hopefully collegiate golf will stay intact. Is that starting in 2023, so 3 years from now, California has a new law that will allow college athletes to make money from their names, likenesses, as well as signing with agents and endorsement deals in college. Supporters of the bill argue that the NCAA are making billions off these kids and their images and names. So why shouldn't athletes make a little money as well? So that what that basically means is that as a collegiate golfer, if you're one of the top, Stick and Hack could go to them and sponsor them. Coca-Cola could go to them and sponsor them, and they could sign deals with agents. That will bring more kids into collegiate athletics in it for a different reason. And I don't want to turn this into college athletes get paid argument, but should college golfers get paid, I guess is what our specific situation is here.
Yeah. Well, the interesting part there is going to be not just, so that'll be, it'll be interesting for golf for a particular reason. And that's because of the way they define amateur status, especially for like golfers. So like, you can't take, so if you play in some sort of tournament and they give away some prize or whatever, right now you're not allowed to take any of those. If you're like when I was younger and I was playing high school golf, if I played in a tournament, you know, with my dad or whoever on a weekend that was like a charity event or something, they were giving away prizes, I couldn't take any of those prizes. I couldn't even touch them.
Why?
Because I was in high school.
Right. But you
weren't. It's amateur. Well, they consider you. you can't, you, it, it will jeopardize your amateur status. It would.
In case you want to go on the tour?
No, just if, like, so say you wanted to become a playing pro, or a club pro or whatever. It has more, it's kind of both, but, yeah, they basically say you can't take it.
Was that ever in your future, potential, pro golfer?
I thought about being like a club pro.
Right.
I never would have been. I'm not good enough to be a tour pro.
Not with that attitude. You're not.
Well, trust me. If I were that good, you and I wouldn't be friends.
I'd have to find another co-host. How the hell would I do that?
We would not be where we are right now if that's the case. I would have a totally different set of friends.
That's a good. Well, I appreciate your honesty. Talk about a big time. Holy cow. I think we're about the school. So if that happens with the, or when it happens in 2023, the schools are going to benefit because just like basketball programs, football programs become Nike schools for golf, they would become Callaway schools or they would become Ping schools. And, and there is money to be made for the school there as well from these endorsement contracts.
Yeah, there could be, you know, I'll be interested to see how that plays out. One of the other things, you know, to me, when you talk about trying to get more younger people into golf and just people in general, and we talked about this, we've talked about this before on the show, is I think one of the things that they've got to start looking at is how do they start getting a lot, getting more par threes built to be able to play, because I really believe that is one of the ways that you make golf more approachable is having a par three available for somebody to play that's nice. And they can go out and feel a little less pressured,
right?
By the game.
Well, and they're working one of the most important parts of the game at that point, which is the short game and the chipping and the
approaches.
And
it
gives you a whole new sense of the game if you start there.
Well, when I was growing up and I was learning the game, the course that I played at, it was a public course in my hometown, and they had a par three. And it was when I was younger, you had to prove yourself on the par three. You had to be able to shoot a specific score and be able to handle yourself on the par three before they'd let you go out on the big course. And to me, that's a great way to learn, is because usually when they build par threes, they've got a lot smaller greens, and it teaches you how to, you know, be able to hit your irons the way you need to and be more accurate. And I think that's something that I'd like to see golf go towards, is having a little bit more, there needs to be more accessibility to par three courses.
That's a good idea. And it's fun.
It is absolutely. You can go out there. You don't necessarily have to have a full set of clubs to go out and play on a par three. Right. You can have, you know, a couple wedges, maybe a couple irons and a putter, and you go out there and you're good to go.
And we talk about this from earlier about getting kids involved. I mean, only 6% of those born after 1999 are playing golf right now.
Yeah.
How do you do that? Well, you got to get your son or daughter out on this course. I mean, I've played with my middle child before, and who's 9. And it's, you know, you got to go to these special tees, and it's this whole thing. It's kind of cool to be in the cart, and, you know, they like all that stuff, but it's a real course, and I can't play it very well, let alone a 9-year-old. So let's get her into a spot where she can have some positivity and and something happen. So, well, hopefully I don't know if that California law is going to go in effect in all states and on all colleges and all that stuff. I have no idea. I'm not part of the legislation.
Thank God.
I'm not sponsoring the bill. I agree with it. I'm just not sponsored. So I don't have all the information. All right. So let's move into the clubhouse here, Mike. As the Stick and Hack show continues here, 1-year anniversary show, clubhouse, we've added something new here. The Stick and Hack Life FYI, because as golfers, Mike, we have other things that we enjoy. We have other things that we do, right? We don't just play golf. And I think that you're going to find that in your travels and in your day-to-day, you're going to find some things that you're picking up from Stick and Hack that you're going to be like, hey, yeah, did you know this? And then you're going to look like a genius. I mean, it's basically, this is designed to make you appear smarter than you are.
Sure.
And most people aren't going to give us credit, right? They're not going to say, oh, I heard it on Stick and Hack. They're going to be like, oh, did you know? They're going to take all the credit for that. They did it themselves.
Okay.
Do you know the definition? Do you know what a con man is?
I do. Okay. I'm aware of what a con man is. Yes.
Okay. So this is the start. This is how the con man came to be. Okay.
Okay.
There was a man in the early 1900s. He'd dress up. He'd walk up to a well-off individual, pretend that he knew them, and he'd start a conversation, which the victim would go along with, since it would be hugely embarrassing to admit, hey, I don't know who you are, right? So you just go up and start talking to them.
Right.
After a while, this guy's name was Thompson. He would ask for a loan of something valuable, money, a pocket watch, tie clip back in the day. Sure. And his phrase would go, hey, do you have confidence in me to loan me this until tomorrow? Basically asked him if he'd trust his old friend.
Yeah. Right.
He would. The victim, already feeling sheepish for not being able to place this man in his memory, would agree and loan him the item or money.
Yep.
Of course, Thompson would never show up again, and he would sell the items and spend the money.
Right.
When he eventually got arrested, put on trial for his cheats, the newspapers found out the details and called him the confidence man. The name quickly became generic for any swindler, got shortened to con man, and gave rise to related words like con game, short con, long con, and simply con. Confidence man. So that's
fascinating.
Right? It is fascinating.
Yeah.
True story. Stick and Hack Life, FYI.
I feel like there are things in real life right now that could parallel that, but I'm not going to get into that.
Really, Mike? What are those things?
Nothing. I'm not going anywhere near that topic.
Let's kind of take a detour here, Mike, and let's get your political views.
No, we're not. We're not going there. Don't care. No one cares what I think on that topic.
And most topics.
Nor should they. Nor I. It's fine.
So that's the definition of con man. That's how it came to be. Shortened version of confidence man. Man.
Well, there we go.
That was really fun. That was a lot of fun. I like that segment.
That was good. It was it was informative. It was interesting. You had me on the edge of my seat the entire time.
Moving forward, after everything I say, I'm going to ask you for a review. After every segment. How'd I do? How'd that go?
Right. We need to have a scale, like a stick and hack scale, like two wedges. That's a three putt. That's a two putt.
There we go. Right. That's it. So a one putt.
Yeah.
It's a hole out. It's a one putt, two putt, three putt.
There we go.
Right.
Yeah.
All right.
The dreaded four putt is the, it's a reverse scale. Normally it's like five stars, but we're going the opposite reverse scale.
You want a hole out.
I like it.
That's what we're going after.
Yeah.
All right. I'm in.
All right.
There's no chance we'll remember that. And this
we won't ever. You will never see this idea ever again.
Not at all. All right. Let's play our game now. It's called Questions for Mike. Okay. Now, truthfully, this is where I found this. Okay. Questions for Mike.
Okay.
I swear to God, I Googled.
Yep.
Questions you would ask a guy.
Any guy.
Okay. Ask a guy, which if you look into my browser history, is probably going to ask some questions for me.
Okay.
I'm Googling questions to ask a guy.
Okay.
But that's what I Googled, and this is what I came up with. Okay.
Okay.
And I need your actual answers here. Okay. What movie do you wish life was more like?
Oh,
these might be first date questions now that as I think about it.
So this is even is that what this guy. Is?
Yeah, it's right. Just asking on a first date.
Are we going Dutch?
No, I don't know what that means.
Does that mean going Dutch means?
That means we pay for our own.
Yeah.
No. You pay for
I'm buying. Come on. All right, fine. What movie do I wish life was more like? Is it like a golf movie? Does that have to be a golf movie or
Mike? This is whatever you want
to. This is whatever I want. All right, let's say Caddyshack.
Caddyshack. You want life to be more like Caddyshack.
Yeah, why not?
Why not? I guess in some parts of the world, it is like the Caddyshack.
I'm sure.
On the East Coast specifically. how many phones have you broken or lost?
Oh. You know, I don't think I've ever broken a phone or lost.
No way.
I swear. I don't. I don't think I have. Maybe once.
All right.
I don't remember it specifically. I literally. Oh, yes. No, you're right. I did lose one. I remember. Yeah, there's a really bad story behind that too, but I'm not telling it.
Okay, so the most interesting part of the show could be this story, and you're going to pass.
Yeah, that is not going out into the public.
That's a four putt. What is the most useless thing you know how to do?
The most useless thing I know how to do?
Yeah. This is not going well.
Teach you how to play golf.
So far, it has proven to be very
completely useless. Completely. I know how to do it, but it's
what kind of hidden talents do you have?
Hidden talents. I don't feel like I have any hidden talents.
Right. I would agree with that 100%. Yeah. Coming up with answers quickly is not on that list.
That's absolutely not. Quick wit is not one.
I quit answering any question in a timely manner. I did send this to you ahead of time.
Yeah, but I didn't read them because I wanted to be more spontaneous.
Why would you?
Which, well, I clearly am not good at. So I should have. Yeah, that's fine.
What is something that most people get wrong?
That most people get wrong.
This is one of the worst segments.
Anything do it yourself, like,
oh yeah, around the house. Yeah, right. Yeah. So fixing things around their house, the dreaded I can do that for cheaper.
I'm gonna be amazed to see like the real estate market in the next like year. People are start putting their houses up because they've done all this work to it during quarantine.
Right. And it's
just, people are like, what in the hell?
All of a sudden it becomes the money pit. All right, what were you really into when you were younger but now think is silly?
Pro wrestling, probably.
Good. That's a good answer.
Yeah.
Back then it was the
was the jam back then. I'm not as much into it now. I'm not saying that it's not, you know, it's fine. I'm just not into it like I was then.
But you don't think it's silly? You still, I mean, it was silly.
It's a little silly, but it's still entertaining.
Right.
But
last question, questions for Mike. Okay. Googled questions to ask guys on a first date, and here's what we came up with. Who or what is your nemesis?
You.
I don't know why you do that, buddy.
It's too easy.
That's nice, too easy. Planned and trying to get to know you, get the audience to know you, and you come up off your heels like that.
They don't want to know me.
Couldn't agree more. All right, Stick and Act Show. Thanks everybody for listening and for being a part of this. StickandAct.com. Join the greatest golf club in the world without the course and read our stories, participate in our surveys, buy our stuff, do whatever you need to do. Support Stick and Act. Support golf. Support yourself. Be an athletic supporter.
Absolutely.
All right. Howdy, Mike. Have a great great week. Good show. Thanks.
Dude, thanks, buddy. Peace out, guys.
The Stick and Hack Show is now over. Subscribe, rate, comment, and tell your friends. You are now free to go about your day.